हरिः ॐ सहनावगतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमाविदविषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरिवभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so page 6 on this. Okay, Sutra 113. Vikara shabdan netichen na prachuryat. Vikara, transformation, shabdat, from the word na, not, iti, thus. Chet, if, na, not, prachuryat, because of abundance. If one argues that the suffix maya means transformation, that argument is not correct, since the subject means inherent abundance. Right? So it's not about there's transformation, because maya can also be used like that. So this will be what will be called chala, where you take the meaning of the word and switch it to something else, right? Because a word has so many synonyms, right? But instead of using the inherent one, what he's saying, I mean the main one here, which would be inherent abundance, they use another one which means transformation. Right? And that way then they support their philosophy. This is generally how people argue. It's not that necessarily that the method of argumentation is wrong, or how they present their points. They may be following very nicely the logical process. But as Prabhupada points out, if you're doing a big mathematical equation and one part is off, the whole equation will be off. So that's here, is that they've started with the wrong meaning of the word. Now applying all their logic and everything to it, it's still going to come out wrong. Does that make sense? So that's the point. So now it's, because what are they trying to do? They're trying to establish basically that they're God. That's the main thing. Right, Brahman is unchanging, and they are that unchanging Brahman. So therefore, if we establish that the Brahman is unchanging, it's nirguna rather than saguna, right? Which then is connected with the personal. Then it's easier for them to be God, right? Because if your competition to be God is something that doesn't have any personality or anything, much easier. But if it's something that walks and talks and everything, then it's a lot more difficult to become, you know, what you want. Does that make sense? Yeah. So then here's that they're trying to establish, we see from the previous verses, that when we're talking about the different koshas, right, anamoy, pranamoy, the purusha of that, that it means the jiva. Like the first four, then naturally it will be the jiva, because the jiva is then controlled by dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. But they want to take it a further state that the pronouncement about the Anandamaya Purusha, that's also jiva. Right? Does that make sense? Because one, that gives them the opportunity that they could be that Anandamaya Purusha. That's one aspect. And the other aspect is that then you're putting down anything that's personal, anything like that, to the living to the Lord in the form of mode of goodness. So they're trying to say, as Vishnu has a form, is in the mode of goodness, and therefore in that way, yes, he's the Anandamaya Purush, but then we become that Anandamaya Purush. So they use that term, I am that, meaning that I am the Supreme Lord, rather, I am that, meaning I am Brahman. Right? Does that make sense? You know, the Lord's Brahman, well, we're Brahman, material nature's Brahman, the spiritual world's Brahman, everything's Brahman, so I'm that. I'm not this illusion where I think I'm the body, I'm the dead matter. Does that make sense? So they're misinterpreting this. So they're trying to say that they're that. Yes.
I don't understand when you say that the other four koshas besides Anandamaya is can be jiva. For example, if you just take Anamaya, it's not that the jiva makes the food. The food's made by...
No, that's there. That's the proper understanding. But you could say that applies to the jiva, that they're interested in dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Right? Okay. While Brahman is beyond that.
Okay, so but when they say that the jiva generates, say, anamoya, that they're not saying that the jiva creates all the food or creates...
No, that's being done by this Vishnu character that they, that.
Okay.
But the point is they can become that Vishnu character and go on to Brahman. So actually they're superior to that Vishnu character. See, this is the point, is that he can't, let's say he has a problem enjoying one rasgulla. So now he's made the determination, since he can't enjoy that one rasgulla, he's going to become a rasgulla. You know, so all rasgullas, and it's like that. You know, it's like he can't win the local championship, but he's going to become the international champion. That's the Mayavadis.
Okay.
They're so frustrated materially to enjoy that they go for, well, then if I can't be the enjoyer, it means that then I'll be the controller. Right?
Okay.
You know, so you see a lot of times that happens in those who, it's a natural phenomenon, the modern kind of social scenario, that those who are having problem personally, then they try to control bigger than personally. They can't control personally. Like, you have the, the single lady or something like that, so she's no one to control at home, so she tries to control the workplace, she tries to control, does that make sense, like
yeah.
that? So it's a very common kind of position, is you can't enjoy, so you'll control. You know, it comes down to the eternal dilemma: is it better to be loved or to be feared? You know, when it comes to administration.
Then my question would come: is it obvious to the Mayavadis that they can't even produce an eggplant?
No, but they're not,
because
it's an illusion anyway, so what does it matter? So that's how they're doing it, is that all this doesn't matter, it's just an illusion. It's like the sour grapes.
Well, it's an illusion until you're hungry.
That's there, but even the hunger is illusion, that you have a body is illusion, it's just, there's just nothingness. So
Okay. That's
the whole thing, is that that's how they sidestep that, is I can't enjoy it because it's not enjoyable because it doesn't exist. Then you feel better. Because if it existed and you can't enjoy it, then you really feel like an idiot. So if it's all illusion, therefore no one can enjoy it anyway, so therefore I'm cool, I'm good. Right? So others are enjoying, but they're an illusion. I couldn't enjoy, but I'm actually more enlightened. That's why I couldn't enjoy. You understand? So they're turning the whole tables on... So basically all you have is for the conditioned living entity, they have to become the controller and enjoy it. It's just a matter of which they focus on more.
So Mayavadiism is an ultimate attempt to pretend that you're the controller, even though you're not.
Yes, even though you're not, but that's why you say it's all illusion, it doesn't exist, because if it exists, then that means you're not even actually the controller, because as you said, they can't even produce an eggplant. So who is producing? It's not just one guy. It's not like Del Monte or something's producing it, right? It's that there's unlimited all over. So there's a greater power at work there. And you're not that. You're not that power. You may have the quality of it, but you're not the quantity. So then you end up not the controller. So there has to be that feeling of surrender, you know, and that insignificance, that there's that that willingness to connect yourself with something greater that they don't have. So it's not that Brahman is great, but they're saying, I am Brahman, that Brahman, rather than I am servant of that Brahman. So that's the difference. So Brahmavadis don't have this illusory concept. They just don't know that much about the Supreme. They know everything's Brahman, so the material energy is also Brahman. Their body's Brahman. Everything's Brahman. So, therefore, they have no material desire. There's nothing to gain from it because they're only interested in transcendence. But they only know Brahman. They don't know Paramatma. They don't know Bhagavan. Even, it's not that Paramatma and Bhagavan are a problem. They only see the Brahman feature of them. Like that. So they don't have a problem with the Lord having form because everything else has form and it's all Brahman, so why can't the Lord have form? Like that. So them, if they get to come in contact with devotional service, then they can see the difference between, because they already see the difference between material and spiritual, so they're situated in the spiritual. So now they can tell the difference within spiritual. Like that. That becomes their... So that's why they can so easily become devotees if they come in contact with the Lord or his devotees. So that's why it's Sukadeva Goswami just hears from the Lord, he becomes a pure devotee. Or the four Kumaras just see the Lord and offer obeisances and smell the tulsi, they become devotees. So it's just they can see the difference and see the superiority, so they immediately take it. You know, why one wouldn't? You know, yes.
Brahmavadis may have heard of Vishnu, but haven't heard of him from the devotees, so don't understand.
Basically, it means they've studied from the Shastras, because Brahmavadis generally will hang out with Brahmavadis. Yes. You know, how you say? How you say? What is
birds
it?
Of a feather.
It means sadhus of a feather flock together.
Sadhus of a chatter.
Yes, sadhus of a chatter. Flock together. Or sit with each other. Okay. Well, sadhus of a chatter sit with each other. Okay. Yes. Okay, that works. Yes. Does that make sense?
Okay, yeah. I just want to go back to my original question so I know, got that, I understand it. So, when you say Jiva is Anandamaya, the Jiva, Anamaya, the Jiva is Pranamaya, the Jiva is Vijnanamaya, that means that they're controlled.
They're controlled, that's their goals, that's the consciousness they're in.
Okay.
Like that. Because it's basically about consciousness. These are the five levels of consciousness, the five koshas, the pancha kosha of consciousness. So then they're taking Anandamoya, means the jiva gets that platform of Ananda where he understands he's Brahman. So their point is it's only talking about the jiva. But what we're saying is no, it's actually just talking about the Lord. Because he is those five levels of consciousness. And we, due to our conditioning, connect ourselves with the first four. Only if we come in contact with devotional service of transcendence do we look at the fifth. Like that. But it's the Lord who is all those levels. Is that? Yeah. Okay. That's why you can use the five to at least the four to describe material consciousness, but you can also use them to describe spiritual consciousness, as I was quoting from Varuna's instructions to Bhrigu, is that he starts off and he goes through all the five koshas, and so at the end he understands that ahamannam, I am food. Like that means, because, you know, so we're made of food, everything comes from food, and like this, that's what it's all made out of. So we're transcendental to that. So through food, one can become fully realized. Like that. So that's the point, is you connect it to Krishna, you become realized. You know, that's the point. And positively, then you become a devotee, and even if it's negatively, you become liberated, like, you know, Shishupal and Dantavakra and all the others.
Yeah, but in order to do that, you have to live in Jagannathpuri. That's
like that. Yeah, the idea is that if you're always in a spiritual environment, then that will always have there. So it's either you create it by your determination, your practice, and association. So that means then anywhere like that. I think it was a lecture when he was in Melbourne. He was saying this is not Melbourne; it's Vrindavan, because the devotees are there, the deities are there, devotional service is going on. So it is Vrindavan. But if you forget or you walk out the door, then you are on whatever street that is. I don't know what it is, but it's some boulevard there. And you're back in Melbourne. Right, while here, we're in the temple, we're chanting, we're hearing, everything's happening, we take Charinamrita, we walk out the door, and we may forget about the deities, but we're still in the Dham. So that's the advantage of living in the Dham, is that it always is the Dham. The other is as good as, because of your consciousness. But if the consciousness changes, you're again in the material world. But here, you're in the spiritual world, though you may not be perceiving it that way. Prauta Maya covers it, so you just see it as material, but actually it's spiritual. That's why the animals, because they're just doing their job, they get purified in the Dham. While human beings can either go up or down. Because humans can create offense or do positive devotional service. Well, the animals, they're not doing devotional service, but they're not making any offenses, so they're getting purified just by living here. So that's why the advantage is given. So if one can live here or at least spend some time here, then that's always good. Prabhupada said one day here is equal to 10 days anywhere else. 10 years anywhere else. You know, I mean, if you take it as a standard living, then it's 3 years. But the point is generally if people only come for a few days to the Dham, they're really focused. You know, they're here, they want to, you know, offer obeisances, follow the program, take bath in the Ganges. So they really, you know, will even probably be more absorbed in their sadhana and the being in the Dham than even those who live here. You know, so everybody else is getting 3, but they're getting 10 years. But, you know, so if they come once every 10 years, they're getting that benefit. So if they can come more often, even better. You know, so that's the thing, it's very special. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yes. If some of the animals are in the Dham, can they actually go back to Goloka Vrindavan after they die, or they have to get a human birth before that can happen? Like,
what does human mean?
So the consciousness isn't appropriate then to go back to Goloka Vrindavan, even if they're in the Dham.
They're in the Dham, they get purified, so they're liberated. Right? So then from there, then they can take birth nicely as devotees and then practice nicely and go back to Godhead. Because in any case, whether they come back into the apricot into the brakat or means they come back here where we are, you know, in this level of existence, and then they're able to take up devotional service nicely. Or whether they whether they go into the Lord's pastimes in Boma Lila and then develop the proper caution. Because no one goes straight to Goloka from leaving here. They all go to Boma Lila. They all go to Boma Lila. Means where the Lord has pastimes here. Like Krishna had pastimes in Vrindavan 5,000 years ago. That's Boma Lila. The Bhagavatam's about that. Like that. So then from there you become fully Krishna conscious there, then you'll go to Goloka. Right? Because you have to get trained.
Right.
You know, but it's on the job training.
So. Internship.
Yes. Yeah. That's the
Someone once told me that you could spend many, many lifetimes in Boma Lila.
You can if you maintain the mood that I am an advanced devotee and I am guru of devotees. Then you can stay there. Haridas Thakur says hundreds of lifetimes. But the general point is people don't maintain that, so therefore in one lifetime then they just go back to Godhead. Like that. But you can. So it's pointed out as a warning so that you don't develop that consciousness here and take it with you. Because that's the point, is that even though you have the phrase you can't take it with you, polluted consciousness and all that, you can. Like that. You know, everything else, that what your consciousness became polluted by, that you leave behind. But the consciousness itself, you can take it with you. Like that. You can, so you don't have to feel bad, you know, like that.
Is this optional?
No, it's not optional. Yes. Can I leave it behind? Yeah. Yes, if you want to surrender, then it's optional. Then you can leave it behind. But otherwise, it's just natural default that will go with you. You know, Scrooge is there, he's a miser, next life will be a miser. You know, it just goes with him. He doesn't have to worry about all that effort put in will be lost. You know, and you know, he'll come out next life on as a nice guy or something, and all that waste of time to get back to being a miser. You know, it's just, you know, very naturally he'll just carry on.
Like when a person leaves their body, how much time is between from when you have left your body to your next body?
You want it down to what form do you want it in? You know, seconds, milliseconds, minutes, hours?
Well, I mean, general idea, like the soul. Like
9 months.
9 months. Where does it go? Oh, okay. So it's just like that from one.
No, it's 9 months. You take a nap.
But it's like to go from one body to the next, like the formation.
You get a 9 month nap. Okay. Then you go into the next body. Because when you get in the next body, then you're going to have all those worms biting you and everything like that. So it's not necessarily nice. You get 9 months of, you know, like a 9 month reprieve.
Is it possible for some people to go to like a different planet and then come back, like spend a little bit of time?
Yes, but this is a whole different discussion, actually. See, it's important, though the examples themselves may be interesting, we will leave the following up on the secondary aspects of the discussion to Parikit Maharaj. But we are using an example to establish what's going on. And so if we get distracted by the example, you know what I'm saying? It's a good discussion, and it comes up now and again. Okay. But otherwise, we can't get too far off into that, okay, because it's not actually the topic. You know what I'm saying? What the point is all these different species of life are based on the levels of consciousness. You understand? So the earthly consciousness and below into the demons and all that kind of like that, then you'll have this anamoy pranamoy consciousness. Demigods, then you have to have at least manamoy consciousness. Right? These great sages will be vijnanamoya consciousness. So your body that you're going to take is based on these levels of consciousness. So that's the discussion. So we're trying to get to anandamaya, which means transcendental, which means non-material consciousness. Right? But of anandamaya, it means the personal, serving the Lord. Right? Because if we're just absorbed in Brahman, then that's the lowest level of anandamaya. So they are on the level, they are on transcendence, but they aren't interacting with the Lord in the spiritual world. Does that make sense? Yeah. Point is, as Krishna says, whatever you remember at the time of death, you'll go there. So you remember Krishna, you go to Krishna. You remember, you know, your grandmother, then you'll end up back in, you know, Romania or wherever it was she's from. So better to avoid that. Okay. Okay. Yes.
Is Burma Lila also, is that Gokul?
Yes, sometimes it's called Gokul, sometimes it's called Burma Lila, yeah, like that. But also when you're talking in Goloka, then they'll say Goloka means everything except Vrindavan, Braj. And then Braj is called Gokul. So Mathura, Dwarka, yeah, Hastinapur, that's all called Goloka. Uh-huh. And then Gokul means Braj. Like that. So depending upon the context, if they're talking about the spiritual world and the material world, then Gokul means here and Goloka means there. Yeah. Right. If they're talking within Goloka, then Goloka means outside of Braj, and Gokul means Braj itself.
Okay.
You understand? So there's two contexts that it's used. And also the third, if it's within Vrindavan, then Gokul means where Krishna first was living, and then when they shifted, then that's Vrindavan.
Yes. But that's only referring to the one here.
No, that's it doesn't matter. They don't make a distinction. It means those from there don't make this distinction. All it is one's higher and one's lower. You know what I'm saying? For them, it's the same thing. You know, you have the living room upstairs and you have the living room downstairs. It's the same thing. It's just, you know, this is happening down, that's happening up, but the same people, same activities. For us, we make it because of time and space, because of our conditioning of time and space. We say, this one's here, that one's there, this one's inferior, that's superior, this is that. But they don't make those distinctions. For them, they're exactly the same. Because for them, they may be in Goloka Lila, but they'll refer to the activities in the Boma Lila. So if the Boma Lila, let's say he kills the demons, he doesn't kill them in the Goloka Lila. Right? But it's the same place, so therefore they'll discuss it as they don't say, oh yeah, when you killed them over there. Oh, no, it's just you killed the demons.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So they don't make that distinction. So between the two, then for them it's one thing. Okay.
Where does the Boma Lila exist?
Where does the Boma Lila exist?
Yeah, like where,
you're sitting.
Okay, so you're in the Boma Lila in the human form of life.
We're in now in what's called, what do you call it? The apricot. We can't see the pastimes. But the pastimes are going on. Lord Chaitanya, and I think Jai Vidakumar said that when Lord Chaitanya goes out on his sankirtan in the morning, then the party comes, you know, from the yog pit and comes up this way. Like that. Because he goes behind, I think, Rudradeep, and then comes up through here. Like that. Does that make sense? So, but we don't see it. We just see taxis and rickshaws and screaming groups of people and stuff like that. Yeah.
He doesn't see that?
Who?
Lord Chaitanya.
Watch out for the rickshaw.
No, they just perform their pastimes. Because it doesn't matter. It's just like, you know, it's not that they get run over by them. They're just in a different dimension.
No,
you know, Hare Krishna, what happened to Lord Chaitanya? In front of that rickshaw. Like I saw this picture of this airplane. It had airplane and painted and plastered on the nose. They had Santa Claus, you know, with all the presents going down the plane. You know, he got hit by the plane. So not like that, no. There's like a, I think Ravana pulled out his sword and went to kill Narad Muni, but when he tries to cut him, it just goes through because he's in another dimension. So just, you like that? He's like freaking out. You know? Doesn't work. And so, you know, once he got tired of that, then Narad Muni pointed out and says, "I've got a transcendental body. You can't kill me." Like that. Yeah, yeah. So he says, therefore, you know, there's no how you say, from that aspect, then you've done no wrong. You know, but because you wanted to kill me, therefore then he gave him a curse. I'm not sure which one he got from that. He was spit on by monkeys or whatever it was, but
yeah, it is.
That's the one from there. So he got the spit on. So Hanuman went and took a very small form and went flying around and spitting on his face, and he's going, huh? What's going on? So he was spit on by monkeys. Okay? Yeah, so there's different dimensions, so they don't have to worry about all this. So that's the apricot lila. When it's manifest where you can see it 500 years ago, that's prakat. Then you can see the lila. Everybody can see it. But after that, then it disappears, and then you can't see it. It's going on eternally, but we can't see it. Does that make sense? But what's described, that's what's going on. Okay? No, I think we can see. Yeah, no, it's just enough light. Thank you. Okay, I was wondering how that worked at, how you say, what are they called? What are those called? Man, it's been so long. You know where you have a stage and then you have guys on the
concert?
Concert, yes. Thank you. It's been a long time. Yes. And then everybody pulls out their flashlights and starts doing everything. Sir, how does that happen? So now I know. Everyone carries a flash. Now, because before flashlights were this big, who carries one? Right? You know,
now they pull out their iPhone.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
I always thought it was a big lighter.
That's what you're supposed to pull out, but I think that's generally after. Yeah, but those get hot after a while. Oh, but that would have made sense back in the, you know, back
in the day.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, everybody had their little pouch. So, yes, okay, I understand. Okay, Sutra Prakashika. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, right. Sorry?
Didn't we do all that?
Yeah, we did it.
We did that?
Not also.
We were in the middle of this.
No, we just started this.
Yeah, we're on the footnote.
We discussed Mayavada and Vivartavada in the footnote.
Vikara.
Yes, we're on the next sentence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just after the footnote.
We finished the footnote?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so we're on to dispel such a, that
yes.
one?
Yes.
Okay. To dispel such a foreseeable misconception, Srila Vyasadeva here gives a grammatical explanation why such an interpretation is untenable. He established that Anandamaya must refer to the Supreme Brahman as opposed to the Jiva. Rather, Anandamaya means the reservoir of all pleasure, or he who is filled with limited bliss. Right? So that's the importance of having the Acharya's commentary. Because if we read all these things on our own, we will tend to just go by the specific words themselves, how much we know. And generally how much we know means how much Monier Williams know. And Monier Williams was a German guy, but a gross materialist, so not a whole lot. Right? So then that becomes a difficulty. That's why then we have to go, because otherwise how do you get from this that means that the reservoir of all pleasure. Prabhupada uses that term, the reservoir of all pleasure. All right? So that is prachuryat. That means the reservoir of pleasure. Right? Does that make sense? So they're saying it's not transformation. It means it's inherent. So it means he is full of Ananda. Not that there's the transformation within Ananda. Because here, Ananda is always transforming. Right, happiness is transforming. There's not the happiness you're working towards that the material energy transform. As it transforms, it comes to a particular point. It will say, this is what I'm looking for in happiness. That's your moment of happiness, but it keeps transforming. And so then it's lost. Mm-hmm. So that's the point. We're always working to transform the material energy to get happiness. But in the process of transformation, it just keeps going. Right, that's what Vatsyayana mentions about the feminine nature, is that it takes a lot of work to start the process going. But having started it going, it doesn't stop immediately. Just when you get to the point you want, it doesn't stop. It keeps on turning. The example being given of a potter's wheel. They have these very heavy, I'm not sure how much they weigh, but I would expect like 100 kilos or something like that. This big round stone thing. It's got a little point on the bottom, so it'll sit. Then they put a stick in it, and with great effort, you get it rolling, you get it moving. Until it's spinning, you get it balanced, and that until it's proper. And then you can make your pots. But having made your pot, it's going to keep spinning. So it's not going to stop immediately. So that's the whole point, is the feminine nature. It takes some time to transform to what is the position of interaction, but once having transformed, it keeps going. So you have to deal with the whole thing. So there's the idea is that I'll just transfer up to here, and when I get what I want, you stop. That's okay if you're dealing with an inanimate object. You're dealing with what's conscious, it keeps on transforming. Right? And even your inanimate object keeps transforming also. It starts to rust and fall apart in that anyway. Mm-hmm. So the point is that's why then they give up the looking for happiness in the material world, because it's always changing. So anything with their idea is anything with transformation must be Maya, illusion. But here, this Maya just means that it's inherent abundance. So they're using Maya meaning illusion, but actually it means inherent abundance in this context. Yes?
Is the same principle works with working with Shanta Bhaktas, because they don't really want to be part of this ever-changing world?
Can be. It's just, yes. It means for them they just see that the taste is there and they're satisfied in that. And so then you'll get different levels of them, from those who basically just appreciate the Lord but's not so dynamically involved, to some up to the, you know, you could say the topmost, you know, like that of Narad Muni, you know, or Madhavendra Puri, like that. You know, so they have that Shanta aspect, but they're intimately involved in the Lord's pastimes. But otherwise you have down to where they just appreciate, so they never feel any separation. You know, it's just like Krishna, Narad Muni goes to Dwarka because he's heard that he has 16,108 wives. So then, how is that all working? So then, out of interest, he goes from one palace to the next. You know, he goes in where Rukmini is there, he's received and he's taken care of. Like that, and he accepts all that worship there. But when he goes to the next palace and they're doing the same thing, he just smiles and then leaves and goes to the next one. Right, so it's that transcendental interest, just the various ways to hear, chant, and remember about the Lord. Does that make sense? So they're fully satisfied on that platform. So he goes and he visits all the 16,108 palaces and then sees how he's dealing in each one. Yes, yeah, so, but it's, they don't feel separation as such. You know, there may be an, okay, that was nice, that taste, but they don't have that intensity of that Vitalamba so much. You know, there must be something there, at least in Braj, but it won't be as intense as the higher rasas. Okay, so, yes. It means happiness, stress is coming and going. You're saying, is that what we mean by transformation?
Material transformation.
Yes, yes, yes. But the spiritual is not that they don't have that transformation, but that's there because of, it's unlimited because of him being the reservoir of it. It's all connected to him. So when you see things connected to him, that's the slowest moving rickshaw I've ever heard of. What if the guy's pushing? Yeah. Yeah, well, they put those motors. Maybe it's from another time dimension. It's really going fast. That makes sense. What was the question? Yeah, they're just constantly moving. That's the point. The modes of nature are causing the transformation. They're going to transform anyway. We, because of our identity with what's transforming, we seemingly become involved. Though for us to be involved, that means those same modes that are causing the transformation, they're involving us in that process. Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore then, we think we're involved. And because we think we're involved, we think we're the doer, therefore whatever the results of that are then come to us. While the material energy is just transforming, then
it's not our fault.
No, it's just that because you were twiddling your thumbs, and I thought of this, what do you call it? Beyond the Fringe, they were talking about the government minister was explaining, yes, and so this social thing happens here, this comes on top, and then we work, and then get this one going this way, and then that one comes up like this. And in this way, then, we as government ministers, this is what we do all day. You know, so it just reminded me of that, so I got stuck there, yes. Okay. Yes, yeah, so the point is that it's always transforming. So because we involve ourselves on the material platform, we suffer. That's why transformation then is illusion on the material platform. But on the spiritual platform, it's just Krishna's energy working. So it's real, it is there, it's transforming, but this will give me happiness or distress. That's what the illusion is. No, it's just transforming. And so therefore, as it transforms, we deal with it in that transforming state, right? And so then since we're just to take part in that transformation process, how do you define what you should do, right? Because it can't be whimsical, because it's this very specific situation and it's not coming from us, and it's not based on our material desires, so therefore it can't be whimsical, right? So that it's transforming in such a way that exists, so it's an actual fact. So how do I deal with this on the platform of actual fact. That's Dharma. So Dharma defines when the transformation is going in this particular way with these particular ingredients, then this is what the duties are. This is what the mentality, the duties, what result you'll get. You understand? So that's why the transcendentalist like Priyavrata Maharaj can be involved in family life and running a kingdom without any problem, because it's just what are the transformations that happen in that process. And he deals with them according to Dharma, and so it's Krishna's energy transforming, so he does his part or his duties within that transformation. So he's fully transcendental. While then someone with material consciousness, then they'll think that this is, they'll think I and mine. So I am there, I'm doing this, and the results are mine. You understand? So that's the whole thing, is that, but if someone's pious, then they'll follow the duties that go with that and think, oh, I have to follow these duties. And that seems like an imposition, but if you're pious, it's something to do. If you're not pious, it'll be an imposition that you don't want to do. But for the transcendentalist, it's not an imposition, because that's actually what's happening. It's just, you want to take part, then this is how you actually take part, is through Dharma. And because you're doing it, and so then to take part like that, you can't be attached. Because it's not about you, it's about the modes and the transformation of the field. So therefore you have to be detached. That will give the liberated platform. By following the Dharma, you'll get the results. By being detached, you'll get liberated. But for the devotee, then he's doing that because this process pleases Krishna. Right? Because Krishna is involved. Why do you think Krishna, he's not attached to the things, but he's dealing with the transformations as they have there. It's his energy. So the difference between Atmarama and I say Rasamaya is that he is interacting with the dynamic transformation of his energies. And so that dealing, that's rasa. So all he's doing is asking us to do the same thing. But for us, it's a burden, because we are so accustomed as I and mine. And so it seems like it's a foreign topic. But no, all it is that's the actual fact what's going on. That's real science. So people say, oh, you're following all that, this sentiment. We can't do that. You have to be the reality of what's now. What is that reality? Who defines the reality? So if modern society defines reality, then that's the problem. That is the illusion. Reality is how the modes of nature function. How are they functioning under Krishna's direction? And in Gita, he explains how the modes work. You understand that, you can be successful. You can be successful, because we'll take success as the transformation went as planned, right? So you follow the way it is transforming, you can get that result. So that's how you know, do I get involved in this transformation or not? Does that make sense? So that's what the Shastra says. This is your duty, you get involved. It's not your duty, you don't get involved. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay? Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Because the Mayavadis understand the word Maya to be a transformation, that is the reason why they have come up with the Nirvishesh and Svavishesh Brahman concept.
Can be, but point is they yes, it'll be based on your transformation. See, the thing is they want to establish that there's a position beyond what transforms. Material world's transforming. That transformation is what gives pain. It gives pleasure, but it gives pain. Right? So to avoid the pain, then their idea is it should not transform. And so if there's not transforming, that must mean the transcendental position of Brahman must not transform. So that's why then they want to establish that, and they want to become that. You understand? So it all goes back to they just want to get out of the pain of the material, the interactions of the material nature. Right? So they're smart enough to understand that their unhappiness is coming from material energy, but they're not smart enough, they're not fortunate enough to understand about the spiritual happiness. You understand? So they only know about Brahman. But you can say it's spiritual because the jiva is Brahman, but the point is it's only the neutral state of the jiva. So you're only dealing with basically sat and chit. Right? But there's no ananda, actually. It's just the existence is there, but ananda is positive. See, if you come to the neutral state, that's not... It, if you're unhappy coming to a neutral state, you'd call that happiness. Right? You know, it's like you're out down at, let's say, the office, and everything's going crazy, and you just wish you were sitting at home peacefully. But it's not that you're happy, because you're not doing anything positive, but at least there's no negative. So that's the material happiness, is removing the negative, that moment that it's removed, that we call that happiness. But it's not. That's only the neutral state. That's the natural state of the jiva. So that's why, for the devotees, the liberation is no big deal, because it's not anything positive. Right? Devotional service, now that's positive. That gives them some happiness. Not some, unlimited. Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah. Okay, Sri Govindabhasya. Anandamaya does not mean transformation of Ananda. Why? Because the suffix maya means abundance, prachuryat. It does not mean transformation. According to the rule, dvya chas chandasi. Panini 43150, right? You can see this is Panini, right? Mm-hmm. You remove half a syllable if it'll make it shorter, and so it's even hard to say. The suffix maya cannot mean transformation when present in a word with more than two syllables.
Because ananda has three syllables.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah. No, that's far out. Yeah. So people might use it in that way, mm-hmm. but technically in the rule, you're not supposed to. Okay, so it means like with dog, you could use it.
Yeah. Okay.
The transforming dog. Okay. Anandamaya also does not mean abundance of sorrow.
Absence
of sorrow. How'd they get abundance?
First couple letters,
yeah, or above in Maya, there's the A's up there. Because if you look straight up, there's an A in Maya. Abund. Yeah. And then, yeah, whatever. Okay, Anandamaya also does not mean absence of sorrow. It is a positive attribute. That's what we were talking about before. Because for the Maya bodies, their idea of Brahmananda is just absence of material. So we won't call that Brahmananda. We'll say it's the lowest stage. It's the neutral stage of Anandamaya. They've just come to... Because you have to... From negative, you come into positive. But there is that point of neutrality. So they're at that point, which is just on the edge between the spiritual and material. That's where the jiva tattva is. Right? They're stuck there. So we will call them Anandamaya, the Brahmavadis, because they're actually situated there. So all those living entities who are in the Mahakalapura that are absorbed in Brahman, that's the point where they're at. It's just this side of the spiritual. Just right on the edge. Like that. But it's not positive. So devotional service is the only thing that will create positive. Everything else is you're working, removing the negative. That's all. Does that make sense?
Prabhupada also calls it Brahma-Bhuta Anandamaya stage.
Ah, okay. Oh, that aspect, yeah. that point, where no positive.
No, that's when there's exchange between...
Oh, when there's Brahma-Bhuta
Anandamaya. Yeah.
Okay, and they're on the platform of like moksha or Anandamaya. Okay. It is a positive attribute. Absence of suffering is mentioned separately, as in the following examples. Esa sarva bhutan tarat ma pahata papma divyo deva eko narayana. The one shining Lord Narayan, devoid of sin, is the soul of all beings. Subala Upanishad. Parah paranam sakala nayatra kleshadhya saniti para varesha. The Supreme Lord, supreme among the excellent, is without any suffering. Vishnu Purana. The word prachura indicates intensity of the word it describes. For instance, the phrase prachura prakasho ravi means the sun has an abundance of light, light as its very nature. Thus, Anandamaya does not refer to the jiva, right? Because it's talking about this transcendental position, right? And the conditioned jiva is not functioning in Ananda, actually. They're looking for it. That's why everybody's looking for happiness, but they never experience it. All they do is experience removal of pain. Right? In other words, the situation is distressful. You adjust that distressful situation, we'll call that happiness. Right? But the result you got was just an adjustment in the situation. It's not actual positive Ananda. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Okay, footnote 6. When the affix maya means abundance, it also implies the meaning essential nature. Therefore, when we use jyotir maya, full of light, to mean the sun, the affix maya can also be understood to mean essential nature. In this way, the word jyotir maya means that of which the essence, essential nature is light. In this way, the word ananda maya might also be interpreted to mean he whose essential nature is full of bliss. Right? So either way, it works very nice. So there's unlimited ways to explain it on that, but the ones that they use are speculative and don't work. Yeah. Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 8:6-8. Lord Brahma said, although you are never born, your appearance and disappearance as an incarnation never cease. You are always free from the material qualities, and you are the shelter of transcendental bliss, resembling an ocean. Eternally existing in your transcendental form, you are the supreme subtle of the most extremely subtle. We therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto you, the supreme, whose existence is inconceivable. Right, so he's the shelter of transcendental bliss, resembling an ocean. Resembling means an ocean actually can't do it, but it gives us an idea. We say as great as the ocean, it gives us an idea. Mm-hmm. Like I remember once may have been the first time we took some of the boys down to Puri. These Bengali boys went down there. And there's a place where you kind of come out and you've come from the station, you're riding on the rickshaw and going through the streets until you finally come out where the road just, a very short turn, goes straight down to the beach and you can see the ocean. Right, when this one boy saw the ocean, he was so shocked. Just that big, and it's just like that. He'd never seen it before. You know, and that's only up to the horizon he was impressed, so let alone the rest of it. So that's the idea. It gives us, that's why it says it gives us a resembling an ocean, because actually it's unlimited. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay. Sutra 1114. Tad hetu vyapade sach cha. Tat, of that, hetu, the origin, vyapade shat, because of the statement, cha, also. Anandamaya does not refer to the jiva, because the text says that the Anandamaya Purusha causes bliss for the jiva.
Can mean also one jiva causes bliss for another?
It depends. If you're following that philosophy, there's one jiva, the whole thing, there's only one jiva, the eka jiva, so then it's a matter of who's causing, who is the one. So then, if they're causing all the bliss for everybody else, you would want to make them happy, right? So that you're happy.
Modern religions.
Yeah. But then that also goes back to, then if you take that, then who's the one jiva that actually makes all other jivas happy? So then if you take the definition of jiva meaning servant, then that means by serving Radharani, she makes all other living entities happy, because she's serving Krishna. So then that could be the eka jiva vad there in the Vaishnav sense.
Accommodate any theory.
Yes. Or it's intimated attachment. It's all from here. So all these other theories that come up are taking a portion of a Chintabheda Veda Tattva and then trying to explain that part as a completeness without the rest of the philosophy. So that's why you end up with problems. And because every philosophy like that is, I mean, every other philosophy does have that problem, that's why it's well accepted that you can't answer all the points. Right? Because no one can answer all the points in their philosophy, but at least it's enough, it's a bulk or prominence so that you can say, yes, it's working like this. So, yeah. Okay. Sutra Bhashika. Here the Sutrakara marshals. Sutrakara marshals. There are marshals that... So they take care of the sutras? The
Sutrakara marshals.
No, yeah.
He's gathering.
Oh, okay, that kind of marshal. Yeah. Not the guy on the horse.
Not the commander.
what do you call it? The Mounties or something? Okay, okay. Here the Sutrakar marshals more scriptural evidence that the Anandamaya Purush is not a jiva himself. This is because the Supreme Lord, the reservoir of pleasure, is the source of bliss for the individual spirit souls, jivatma. The cause of happiness and the receiver of happiness must be different persons. They cannot be identical.
But right. Krishna is one person.
He's one person. That's why he gives and he receives. He goes there. But the point is where the jivas come in. Because we'll explain it from his position. Mm-hmm. They're explaining it from the jiva's position. So in this case, it has to be someone separate. Mm-hmm. But for it to be experienced, it comes from the Lord, goes through somebody, they experience and it goes back to the Lord. Mm-hmm. But the experience of it, the transformation of it, is done by someone separate from who is the cause of the happiness. Right? Because we're taking a cause of happiness as Krishna, but who receives the happiness is the jiva. Right? Because otherwise you get into Krishna is the cause of happiness, and then let's say Radharani is the receiver of happiness, but then at the same time Radharani is not different from him, so there's a oneness there. That's a whole different discussion. You know, because then it's a transcendental, you know, a personal position. Right?
When Krishna wants to be the receiver, he has to take on the mood of Radharani.
Yes. Because it comes, but it also just comes back to him in that on the platform of Brahman, that has come from Brahman goes back to Brahman. But that's a different discussion. That's not being brought out here, because if you brought that out here, then the Maya bodies would catch that, and then that's what Madhvacharya distinguishes in discussing with the Maya bodies. Ramanuja would be using these aspects of the oneness so that they would be inspired to take it up. In other words, we have special oneness. Means, and it's not just oneness that's on the level that they're talking about, but it's actually on a transcendental that's full of bliss and interaction with the Lord because of the mood. So he's trying to attract them from their position of Brahman realization to a higher platform. Right? And so those who would be sincere would take it up. Those who weren't sincere, that are just juggling words and attached to the grammar and all that, so those ones will be left. So when Madhvacharya comes along, he doesn't give them an opportunity to grammatically deal with that. So therefore, he chooses never to use any of our philosophy that shows anything that's dwait on the transcendental platform. But we see when he refers to the spiritual world, he does. But generally, he's always, most of his discussions are about defeating the Maya, you know, about here. So you rarely ever see it. So, yeah. Okay. Sri Govinda Bhasha. It is said, Ko hyevan yat ka pranayat yad yesha akasha anando nasyat esha evanandayati. If the infinite Lord did not exist, who could inhale or exhale? The Lord alone is the cause of bliss for the jiva. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.7. Because the above statement says that the Lord, full of bliss, is the cause of the jiva's bliss, tad te tu vyapade shat, the Anandamaya Purusha is not the jiva. The cause of bliss for the jiva is different from the jiva. In the above quotation, the word Ananda means Anandamaya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also explains that, I think it's in Tattva Vivek, that the jivas, I mean, in the material world, then you have all these variety of philosophies. because of their perception of reality. But in the spiritual world, there's only one philosophy. We all see that the Supreme Lord is there and they're his part and parcel. So the natural position of the living entity is that they see they're in that neutral state. And the Lord, you know, and that the cause of whatever happiness is there in that neutral state, that's coming from somewhere else, not from themselves. They're not an illusion, so they can see that. So then the natural position is they take it up as service to the Lord, right? So that means they see the Lord and his position as the central feature of everything, right? He's the center of all relationships. But those jivas that come here, they see it's coming from something else, but they don't see it's the Lord. They see it's the paraphernalia of the Lord. So they see the secondary. And so because of seeing that, you know, then they come here. Right? Because here, the vision is always secondary. Right? Whether it's gross secondary or subtle secondary, but it's always secondary. Right? It means gross will mean that there's, you know, the physical or something like that. The subtle would be some particular quality that we want. Right? You know, the gross one, someone may be saying, yes, you know, there'll be prosperity for everybody will have this. Oh, is it? Oh, no. Is it? A chicken in every pot and a car in every garage or something like that. That was FDR's, I think, his one popular president, he was saying. So that everybody would have food, they would have, you know, amenities like that. So that's the gross. And then if you're just taking general, people would be prosperous, then that's a higher point. But it's still kind of, it's more of a generic of the other. But then you say people will be happy or satisfied or protected or secure. That's the subtle form of the secondary. Because the point is, what is the security? Where is that from? What's actually the point? It's Krishna. He is the satisfaction. He is that. And if we say that, okay, having facility makes one happy, but the point of the facility that makes us happy is Krishna. Because the same object that today makes you so happy, tomorrow you couldn't care less. The same object. Right? You take it, you put it in your closet very nicely, and then after a few years when you come across it again, you go, what's this? And throw it out. So it's not the object itself, it's Krishna's potency within it. So by the modes of nature, then you appreciate that aspect of it, that higher quality of Krishna from there, and so then it's valuable. When the modes change, you don't see that anymore, so it doesn't have any value. But it's not that the thing itself inherently is not of any value anymore. Does that make sense? It's that you don't see, or Krishna has removed his potency. You know. Does that make sense?
So that's why second-hand shops are so popular? Somebody else sees the value?
Yes. Yes, you see the value. You know, you see the antiqueness, the oldness, the, what do you call it? You know, just its, how well made it is, or its function, or it's just, you know, that's, yeah.
Someone else's junk is someone's treasure.
Yeah, someone else's junk is someone's treasure, yeah. Because one man's junk is another man's treasure. Yeah.
Another one.
Yeah. Yes, there's so many profound sutras of wisdom.
Of tradition.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
What do you mean Krishna has removed his potency?
The modes of nature, then you don't see that. It's not that it's not there. It's just that you don't appreciate that anymore.
But you said two things. You said the modes of nature have changed, or Krishna has removed his potency.
Means they've changed, it still has the value like he says, or Krishna's removed the potency, so now nobody likes it. But somebody will like it. Even if you take that old hubcap and it's all rusty and that, and you throw it out on the pile, then there's some animal that would like to live under it. So, you know, all it is transforming. But I mean, for us, it's being put or removed. It's being done by Maya, you know, just as the time goes. Because you'll see suddenly then, let's say that there's a contemporary point being made that just comes out in the news today. Mm-hmm. Somebody makes a statement. That statement's been made for thousands of years. People have always been saying that. But now today, suddenly, everybody goes, yeah, he's right. Mm-hmm. Right? So that means that Krishna puts that potency there. So that's the mode. It'll be done through the modes of nature. Like that. And then when the modes change, then everybody will move on and nobody cares about the guy anymore. And he's standing out there with his placard like he has been for thousands of years and nobody cares. Does that make sense? Yeah. Oh. The cause of bliss for the jiva is different from the jiva. In the above quotation, the word ananda means anandamaya. Bhagavatam Resplendence, 10.14.37. My dear master, although you have nothing to do with material existence, you come to this earth and imitate material life just to expand the varieties of ecstatic enjoyment. Ananda shandoham pratitum, for your surrendered devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.26.1. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, having achieved this human form of life, which affords one the opportunity to realize me, and being situated in my devotional service, one can achieve me, the reservoir of all pleasure and the supreme soul of all existence. Anandam paramatmanam, residing within the heart of every living being. Right. So the point is he is the source of that happiness. And he's the reservoir. And so actual happiness that comes for the devotee on that transcendental platform is coming from the Lord. Right? So, yeah. Sutra 1.1.15. Mantra vikaram eva chagiyate. Mantra varnikam? Yeah, mantra varnikam eva. Mantra varnikam eva. Mantra varnikam eva chagiyate. Mantra, by the mantra portion of the Vedas, Varnikam described, Eva, certainly, Cha, also, Giyate, is described. Anandamaya does not refer to the Jiva because the Brahman glorified in the mantra section is the same Anandamaya Purush. Are these different Adhikaranas, or this is all one Adhikarana now?
This is all one Adhikarana.
So it's proving that Anandamaya means the Lord and not the Jiva.
Yeah.
That's okay. Sutra Prakashika. Okay. Srila Vyas argues that because the Supreme Brahman is the object of attainment for the individual spirit soul, and because the object of attainment and the attainer must be two distinct entities, that therefore the Supreme Brahman and the individual living entities must be distinct persons. The Supreme Lord, who is described in the Upanishads as Satya, eternal, and Ananta, endless, is the same Anandamaya Purusha described in the same texts.
Not Texas.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same. So that's it. All this, so that's why Texas is always the greater of the states, because of the Lord being. It's actually about the Lord. Texas is about the greatness of the Lord.
God's country.
Yes, God's country, yes, yes. The Lone Star State. Right. Okay. Sri Govinda Bhashya. In the mantra section of the same Upanishad, it is said, Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. Brahman is infinite existence and knowledge. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.13. Appears Taittiriya Upanishad is quite a prominent Upanishad.
Well, every Adhikarana features a different passage from one of the Upanishads. So Taittiriya Upanishad is the subject for these like seven sutras.
Right? Okay.
So that's why I'm
quoting. No. But I'm saying it comes up a lot when we go through.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So it seems to be, of all Upanishads, probably quoted as a singular one. That and Ishupanishad seem to be the most quoted.
Yeah.
Other ones you'll have a quote here and a quote there.
Yeah.
Like that. But it seems to be this one's Taittiriya is always new.
Okay. Is this the one that was originally from Yajnavalkya? He birds hit it and then all the...
Yes, that Taittiriya birds came and ate. So
then,
yes.
For that Upanishad?
Yes. So that was what was off, yeah.
Just before we end, I've been thinking about these discussions. And you've been talking a lot about the unlimited, expansive ocean of bliss that is Krishna.
Right.
and comparing it to the smallness of our own being.
Yes.
So the question that, or the samshaya that I have, the doubt that I have is, how is it that from Krishna's point of view, how does he get happiness from his relationship with something so small? In other words, we see, like for example, in the Prahlad Nrisimha Leela, that when Nrisimha sees Prahlad, he's crying tears of ecstasy. And we know that Krishna is Rasanandi, he's the enjoyer of rasa. So in something so great, how can he get pleasure from something so small that he actually experiences bliss from us?
Right.
That's the question the samshaya that I have.
The point is because rasa is not about volume. Here means that what causes it, and that can be something very small. So it's not about that. Just like, let's say, the mother sees the little shoes of the baby. Let's say she's going through a box in the attic. She comes across those little baby shoes. You know, they only got one string to tie. It's so small. So it's only a part. It's only small. So it's not size that matters. Okay. Voting another.
Leave that aside.
Yes. Okay. So that's the whole point. It doesn't matter. Size is not the problem. Because we're also, it's the point is we're part of Krishna. So Krishna's experiencing himself. So it's not that we stand alone on ourselves. The reason that he will get happiness is because we're identifying ourselves with him. So then, in that case, then he can experience that happiness that comes from that portion of himself.
Okay.
Did that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. No, that was just...
So when he's experienced, so when... Let's put it into Leela. So when Nrisimha is crying, when he's...
But the same, how big is Prahlad and how big is he? So the whole point is the forms of the living entities will take on the particular size and qualities that match the particular rasa. So therefore, then they'll be inappropriate sizes. You know, Mother Jashoda is, you know, as an appropriate size and all that. So in pastime, then everything's in proportion. So depending upon where they are, they're that size. Like Brahma on his planet is huge, but when he comes down here, he takes the size of, in proportion, how big he would be here. Because otherwise, if he was, we would just see if we looked up, we could see the bottom of his foot, you know. He would be so big. But the point is he takes on accordingly, because it's about relationships, it's about rasa. So therefore the size works out.
Okay.
Sort of. Because you're looking at it, it's 1/10,000th the tip of the hair, but what's the form that's being used for interaction?
I'm talking about even if the form can be adjusted, still it doesn't change tattva, still...
No. But the point is he's expanded to that.
He might be as big as Texas, Lord Brahma, but he's still, the tattva is, he's still 1/10,000.
Yes, but the point is that still, if Texas came and sat down on top of you, you'd be quite squashed.
Yeah.
So the point is that it's rasa, that when the devotees expand to that form. So the devotional service, because the form is being used for devotional service, therefore it's non-different. It is transcendental. So that's why we say spiritualized. You know? So because of that spiritual aspect, then the whole body is there. That's why body, mind, and words are engaged in the Lord's service, so there is volume.
There is volume.
Yeah. Because of that. But if you're not, then you're dealing with 1/10,000th the tip of the hair of a living entity and illusion, so there's nothing there to get involved in. Does that make sense? Oh, think about it.
Okay. I have to think about it.
Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nityananda Gaura.